Steve back? He will be. There are three of us here, so let's get started. Council will come back to order and we'll resume the hearing. Commissioner Novick will be joining us shortly. And Carla, I believe you are still in possession of a sign-up list.
I am. The next four are Loretta Pasco, David August, Joan Pendergast, and Roz Terry Light.
Welcome. Come on up.
Also, let's see, Melissa Orban. Come on up. Orban, sorry. How about Ben Marston? Oh, here comes somebody.
Yep, there we go. Now we have four. Hi. Go ahead, please. Don't be nervous. It's okay.
Oh, and we made you wait for an hour to get even more nervous. Sorry about that. Just the way it happened on the sign-up sheet. Just talk to us.
Just give us your name and say what's on your mind.
My name is Loretta Pasco, and I've been in Oregon for quite a while now, and I am 3 months pregnant, 3.5 months pregnant by my husband, and I've been at Right to Dream 2 for almost about roughly 2.5 years, almost more, and they've helped me out a lot. They've provided women, men, couples to come in with warm, safe shelter that they provide food if they have it. They usually do. With a warm sleeping bag, a warm place to come, get off the streets where they're not in the doorways where the police are rousing them up every morning. And
you're doing fine. Keep going. Take your time.
We've made a lot of accomplishments. We've got people off the streets into safe housing. And me and my husband are looking into getting into some housing soon for me, the baby, and the dad. And I've come a long way since I've been in R2D2, or Right to Dream 2. And I appreciate you guys for what you're doing. I just hope you guys keep it up. You guys are, I love the help. I love my members at R2D2. I even love my husband. I adore R2D2.
That's cute. No, you're good.
You're
that
fine.
That was really beautiful. Thank you
no,
so much.
No, it's fine. Thank
Perfect.
You.
Perfect.
You're good. You're good. Thank you. Go ahead.
My name is David August. Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. As a citizen living in downtown Portland, I am very concerned about how the Right to Dream process or issue is being handled. And I'd like to give some historical perspective to this, if I can. And Commissioner Fritz, I would like to refer to a statement that you made in 2008, and I'm quoting, "You need a conditional use permit to allow large numbers of people to congregate to sleep at night." And I'm going to hand that statement in for the record. And you continued, and I quote once again, "I'd like the committees working on this issue to propose amendments to the Andy Camping Ordinance to address this need," end of quote. And once again, you stated in 2008 that one would need an amendment to the anti-camping ordinance to permit camping like the type of camping that is being considered here. Since that time, to my knowledge, no effort has been made to amend the code and define the circumstances and conditions under which this would be allowed. As a good example, unlike what we have here, and I will hand in this document for the record, when the city made an exception to the anti-camping ordinance in March of 2008 to allow a 24-hour exception along the Rose Parade route, the city adopted a new code section, made rules, and had a deliberate public process with an ordinance before City Council. The discussion and decision on this very important matter should not take place under the threat of lawsuits, either from Right to Dream 2 and its landlord, nor the affected parties in the proposed relocation area. Notwithstanding the good work that Right to Dream 2 has done, and I haven't heard anyone in this room say anything about disbanding or getting rid of it, not a single person. I've been here since 2 o'clock. But I would urge City Council to delay voting on this issue until a reasonable solution is presented. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Good evening and welcome.
Hi, it's good to see you again, Mayor Hills and Amanda Fritz. Thanks for attending to this. It's been good to hear all the discussion. It's really important to, when people are in conflict, to recognize everybody's really passionate about their homes and are passionate about their neighborhoods and passionate about how they're living and their life is. One of the startling things is to realize people still do not understand that there is not a solution. The people have been doing 10 years of trying to find a solution to homelessness, and it's not been found. It's been growing and growing. And I feel that we're still leaving up to experts to fix it instead of the community to fix it. I was here looking into the Old Testament. It talks about hospitality as a service. If you're a Christian or Muslim or Israelite, it's like you serve and you're a hospitality to the strangers. And our society has forgotten that. As to people really being upset about not having that dialogue in Pearl District, I want to say this is an opportunity to have campers in your neighborhood and have dialogue, real dialogue. Homeless people do not have a voice if they're in shelters or if they're on the streets. Where is their voice? R2D2 has organized people so they can have a voice. People have organized themselves to be clean and safe, and they are having a voice. They're up here speaking before you. This is a real golden moment for a municipality. If they, I hear that the Pearl District has a history of doing dialogue and doing planning for the neighborhood. There's a possibility that the Pearl District could solve this problem with R2D2 talking, with negotiations here. And I recommend you here, I haven't had a chance to tell you, Mayor Harrells, I saw you switch up the heads of all the different departments. I see you trying to undo the siloing. That's an endemic of our society. People don't understand other aspects of other people's lives or other people's struggles or other aspects of how our community works. People who live in houses do not understand the struggles of people who do not have a house. It's plain and simple, it's not understood. And instead of trying to understand and find a place of dialogue, people are treated as wards, dependents, people who are just too messed up to have a voice. And historically here, in there's a lot of different places here that working towards, once you have conversation and you have the same vocabulary, you have a bridge of communication and understanding, solutions are found. So I really suggest all the people in the business district there, get creative. You have to get out of just making money. That's what's called social responsibility. That's another new tag in business world, as well as green and sustainable. It's also about social justice. Let Portland be the first person who says, yes, in my backyard, yes, there are homeless people, and we're going to fix it.
Thank you very much.
My name is Melissa Orsman. This is James, and I'm going to lean a little bit away from the microphone. I can tell you right to drive, whatever we call it today, works. Not just because of my words, what I'm holding right now. He is my reason for telling you Right to Dream 2 works. We were homeless for 6 months. I was 4 months pregnant when we got our housing. We got our housing and we got a job. During that time, it was hell being on the streets being pregnant. The food sucks. Being pregnant, you might want food once in a while. The people, the members gave us food. They were willing to help. Even now, we take our son down there to see the Right to Dream 2 people. We visit nearly every week. I trust my son with them. That tells you they're safe. And like I said, it works. They help everybody. They love my son as if he's their own. He's got so many aunts and uncles there that I don't even think he knows who's who anymore. And it's a great community. You heard there are pregnant women now, and they're the future. They're going to have the same things that James has. And he also is the proof for the future for the potential houselessness, because no matter what, it's always going to be there, even in his future. And he's going to have Right to Dream, too, to say, I can help be an advocate for you. I can help you, because he's seen it. He hasn't had to deal with it. He hasn't had to live it, but he's seen it. And that alone will help our future more than anything else. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there Ben Marston? I believe the last name is, the name is Rico J. Alisa Fay, Greg Margolis, Loxley, Mark Hoffhines, Eric Williams, Veronica Bernier. Oh, here comes someone.
Great. Good evening.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, please. You can be first.
My name is Lisa Fay, and I want to thank you, Mayor Hales, Commissioner Fritz, Mr. Novak, Dan Sossman. You all have stepped up and put your best foot forward with Right to Dream 2. You've watched over the last 2 years as we've cultivated and erected a community of safety for the houseless community. We have used this time and our efforts to put people back to work, to get people into housing, to create a safer community around the area of 4th and Burnside. We're looking forward to the next year and the challenges it faces, and we welcome all input from the Pearl District, and we're looking forward to moving ahead and continuing our relationship with the city. And we hope that in the future we can come together and find a more permanent solution to houselessness. In the meantime, please consider Right to Dream 2 as a first step. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Eric Williams, and I'm a native Oregonian. I've lived in the Pearl District for about 8 years. And when I bought my condo, if I would have looked at the land use designations in the neighborhood, I would never have any clue that a tented camp would be a permitted use. And I think no developer that was developing on the north end of the Pearl District, as we've heard testimony from today, would think that a tented camp would be a permitted or even a conditional use. In fact, there's ordinances that the city has against public camping. So what I think we have here, a lot of here today, is a lot of intellectual dishonesty. There's people that are trying to refer to this homeless camp as a rest area. And I've heard some people in the peanut gallery chiming in that it's a rest area, it's a rest area. You can call it a rest area if you want, but anyone who would go and visit the camp and would look at it, and you said, what is this? Is this a rest area? People would say it's a camp. So it's intellectually dishonest to call it otherwise. I have a suggestion to make. And that is that I reviewed the report that the Bureau of Development Services wrote and looked at it and reviewed the code with that. And again, I find that intellectually dishonest. And I would suggest that maybe you should partner with the Pearl District Neighborhood Association, one of the developers, and find a private land use attorney or a planner that doesn't have a dog in the fight, that's in a different jurisdiction, have them review the city's zoning code, and also the proposed use, and see what they think. And I suspect that they would not come to the same conclusion that the director of Bureau of Development Services have come to. The other issue that I would like to talk about is crime. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, crime has declined in the area, and there's not a problem with crime on the site. And while I don't disbelieve that there's not crime on the site itself, there's a GIS information system the city has that all crime is reported, and you can look at it very granularly. You can look at it within 0.05 miles of a particular location. And if you do that, 0.05 miles is about one block. It's actually less than a block. And if you look at that, there's about close to 1,200% more crime near the current R2-D2 camp than there would be in the location that's proposed to move to. So, I would question the stats on crime. And then I know Commissioner Fritz said, well, it's declined since the R2-D2 camp went in. And you can't look at it as granularly when you go back multiple years on your system, but you can look at the neighborhood crime stats by neighborhood, and you'll see that the crime stats on an average monthly basis are about flat. There's really no change, and you can look at that information yourself. So I guess the thing that I find disturbing is that it seems like there's not a lot of honest solutions here. And people talk about, well, you know, we don't really have a solution, a permanent solution. I look at things like the Bud Clark Commons. That's a beautiful building. It's a Taj Mahal. The thing that's interesting about the...
Let him speak, and then you do need to finish up. So.
The Bud Clark Commons has 90 dormitory beds. It has 130 units. And the average size of the units is, well, it's around 400 square feet. About six blocks west of that, there's the Freedom Center on 14th. It's a market rate set of apartments. The units are as small as 267 square feet. If the city would have just reduced the size of the living units in the Bud Clark Commons, they could achieve a couple of, well, not a couple hundred, probably 100 more living units than they got out of the $50 million Bud Clark Commons. So I just think that the city's not really being honest with the way they're going about the process, and I encourage you not to approve it, or at least to extend it and give it greater consideration.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Rico Jones. I was here about a month ago. Kind of told you all to step up or get out, being Oregonians. You know, I'm Oregonian. So I think for me, you guys have been doing a good job. I mean, working hard to... I think you've been doing what I asked you to do. I think what I said to you, you took, you know, serious. So, I mean, I think Right to Dream 2 is great. They've helped a lot of people, myself and others. But I think this new, us moving over there would be beneficial for the houseless and stuff like that. And I just want to say you guys are doing a good job, and thank you very much for looking out for us.
Thank you.
Thanks and the houseless. Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Thanks.
Thank you. Hey guys, how you doing? Mark Day Alphonse Jr., founder of United Coalition Against Repression for Equality, You Care. Thank you, Council Member Fritz, by the way, for being the only member to ever respond to any of my emails. God be with us all. And let me remind you that the money that or tender that you all carry also says, "In God we trust." Well, do you? Do you care? Your credibility is really, I'll be honest with you, sucks. Stop sending your thugs after, especially like the Morrison Bridge, which has been all over the internet, all over the media. Good example. I've been here before you repeatedly, but yet we still keep getting involvement. We're nonviolent. We're only violence that gets aroused is by the cop interactions when they become violent towards us. Okay, we support R2-D2 because at least they don't assault our service animals and citizens. On the contrary, also as you will see when the proposal is written from Chad Stover, it reflects what they are doing now. The halfway house for the homeless ran through the nonprofits such as Join will be ran appropriately by the homeless, based on volunteer basis through the system which they already have for the barter. Also, the Mark J. Hoffines Jr. Locker House will also be another opportunity to get property off the streets. And it'll be a great thing. And when we come before you guys, I pray that you guys vote yes on it, because it'll be a good reflection of what these guys are doing. And if it hadn't been for these guys, I wouldn't have the opportunity to present this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Veronica Bernier, let's go with Ivan Scarborough, Art Llewellyn, Barry Joe Stull, Martha Van Dyke, Adele Nofield, Al Dennison, Tom Worley, Marge Nichols, Chris H., I think somebody's coming.
Okay, it looks like you've got four. Stand by if she called you and there's not enough chairs. We'll get you up next. Go ahead, please.
Sure.
Good evening. Go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Ivan Scarborough. I'm here to talk about, obviously, the issue at hand. First, I'd like to start by saying that the Portland camping ban has been deemed unconstitutional by both the Oregon and federal constitution, Article 1, Chapter 16, and Amendment 8, respectively. So everyone talking about the camping law is really malinformed. Get that right out of the way. Secondly, I'd like to say that, as Mark mentioned, the police intimidation and harassment, which I came to City Hall 2 weeks ago and requested to speak with the mayor about. I've been given no response. It's been 15 days as of today. I was told to come to your office, talk to you more expediently, which obviously was less expedient. I haven't heard back from you yet. But I've witnessed some of the police brutality, pepper spraying people in the face, shining strobe lights in epileptic girls' faces right outside your building here, witnessed by City Hall security. Wanted to come talk about that. Never given opportunity to do so. But that really boils down to, like, money-based values over human-based values. Everything I hear is about money. We're going to lose profits because of people looking ugly in the street. Now, from what I understand, you guys have plenty of money to dump into projects like the Hyatt Lodge, et cetera. You know, and it's just like cold, calculating, you know, people who know how to manipulate the law and use the legalese terminology, what most people don't know how to do, are able to get away with, you know, all kinds of crimes, whereas the poor homeless are just, you know, discriminated against, pepper sprayed in the face. Nobody really cares, apparently. So I'm glad to be here and see that people are being stood up for. The R2D2 camp is a place for people to be safe and get away from, you know, being on the sidewalk and being kicked in the face and sprayed by police officers. We filed an independent review today for one of the incidents that happened day before yesterday, and I still have yet to report on the one that happened 2 weeks ago, and I still await your response on a meeting about that. But I'm glad to see we're all here. I'm glad to see this is being put into the public eye, because it really needs to be. You know, the city continuing to support discrimination by police and unconstitutionally enforceable camping laws. Anyway, blessings. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Tom Worley. I'm here as a supporter for Right to Dream tonight, but I'd like to back up and give a little bio about who I am otherwise. I'm also representative of Oregon Center for Christian Voices, and our cause is to bring justice issues before the state and also the city. And I have a bit of a unique history with Right to Dream, I would say, and Right to Survive before that. About 3 years ago, this time of year, a little later, I spent a couple of nights on the street myself, incognito, and a night at one of the missions, and I had my cell phone, and I had $10 in my pocket, and I could have gone on the bus and went home. But I knew what it felt like to be on the streets. I knew a bit what it felt like to be criminalized because I didn't have a place to stay. We know that there's at least 800-plus people in that category. Tonight, this winter, it's forthcoming. Beyond that, I spent 5 nights on site at Right to Dream in its early days, the first year, November to mid-December. So I had a chance to see what it felt like from the inside out. They were gracious. They called me an organizer. I had no ability to organize what they were doing. I had ability to support them in what they were doing, but that was pretty much it. But I could see the values lived out. I could see the empowerment to have dignity back in their lives, to come together and support each other. It's not perfect. It's not the last word. But I think it is perhaps the first word at this time in Portland. I see nothing else like it on the horizon. It could be enhanced by public support. You all are faced to have the wisdom of Solomon tonight. There have been compelling, cogent, human arguments on both sides of this issue. But I ask you to move forward with courage, what's really in the best interest of Portland and humanity, and that we can all look back. There'll be a winner and a loser tonight by the decision, but we don't have to have winners and losers if we move forward and help each other.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Hello, my name's Barry Joe Stull. This is the first time in a really long time that I've appeared in front of a public body as a person that actually has housing. And that's something that we have to kind of address here, because I lost my housing in 2005. My nonprofit affordable housing landlord brought a 30-day no-cause eviction. I appealed that. I was locked down in violation of a state pending appeal. The day the Court of Appeals order came out in Salem, the landlord and the Multnomah County Sheriff went into the apartment, so we know when that happened, and the landlord destroyed $15,000 worth of my property. And I proved all that. And they did it again. And I've been asking the police commissioner, Sam Adams at the time, and now you, Commissioner Hales, to affect the police report against the judge down here a couple of blocks that allowed all this to fly. And to get into my housing, I got my keys September 10th. That was because I took Join, who you found, funded to the tune of about $300,000, to federal court across the park over here. And my first meeting with Join, after we settled, they presented me with the paperwork that they had, the whole time, I might add. I qualified as a person with a disability that met the definition of chronic homelessness. My housing is paid. Okay, so I'm a really smart guy, and that shouldn't be a problem for me. That should be a problem for you, and it is a problem for you all. So I'm going to tell you about the anti-camping ordinance. The state law mandates that owing to the inherent social problems of homeless people camping on public property, every municipality in the state, and that would include Multnomah County and the City of Portland, must have an anti-camping ordinance. That's under the section of law 203.077. If we go under ORS chapter 203.081, we find out that there are exceptions. The two of those, emergency, so we might think of Hurricane Sandy, Katrina, earthquake, volcano, or a permitted campground. It's an area that's designated. That's permitted by state law. I've been here at council I don't know how many times, and you have never, ever, as Portland City Council, the predecessors, you all have never, dating back to Vera Katz as mayor, have never stepped up and used the part of the Oregon law which the legislator intended there to be permitted campgrounds, or they never would have put that in that statute. ORS 203.081.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good evening.
My name is Mary Nichols, and I spent about 100 nights last year here in front of City Hall. I didn't want to be a protester. I thought we were going to pitch a softball and Portland was going to hit this out of the park, because I'm looking at the national picture of people working with government for solutions, and I just believe that we could protect people at night, because if we do that, then they get better. They don't fall victim. And I think the numbers of increasing homelessness is not coming from so much economy and job loss and so forth, as much as what happens when they get here, they can't get out anymore. Because what we're hearing is, we used to say, oh, that poor man lost everything. And that brings a bunch of stories like Barry's, you know, long and interesting, and it's the son and the retirement and the, you know, just all these stories. But when we talk about that poor homeless person, it's job loss and housing market at best, or then there's laziness, craziness, drugs, alcohol, like we know. And when I did interviews, I did about 100 of them, which I have, and what I found was it was the same thing. It was the guy who lost everything for all these weird reasons, only now there used to be a step in between, like the neighborhood would get together and they would help, or there was a farm and you could work on it and stay there. There's nothing now. Your grandparents don't have a couch for you now. So the step is immediately onto the street, and then people get disoriented, and they came to City Hall, and that's how bad it was. We didn't really expect that. We didn't expect to be a triage. And Right to Dream right now, when people come, they're wandering around lost, they're sleep deprived, they don't understand what the police are saying, and then if they get shuffled over to Right to Dream, they get some orientation, they get some sleep, and they have a chance. So what's going to happen is homelessness can only be solved with the leadership of people who've experienced it and the people closest. By you guys just saying you guys have earned a chance, what you are doing is you're allowing them to bring in the community like they've already done. Because once people go through our Right to Dream, or they become involved or care, they never leave. And they're committed to the issue, but they're educated. And unfortunately, right now, people who are houseless are considered other, and therefore they're either beyond help or it's their fault, and then we aren't close enough to solve it. So what's going to happen now, I believe, is in this temporary situation, you're removing the stigma. So now the government is working together with the people. You're removing that stigma. That allows businesses that care and people who care to come in and not be afraid that they're getting involved in some kind of muck. So they're going to help. And we're going to see what can happen when people who have experienced homelessness lead this. And I believe that Portland is going to show the rest of the nation. So everybody needs to just calm down about worried about the prospects, because what it's showing me is when they're worried about what's going to happen with housing values and what's going to, they've accepted homelessness. We're not there. We're not accepting homelessness. Homelessness is deadly. So anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Veronica Bernier, Al Dennison, Chris H., Melissa White, Ibrahim Mubarak, and let's go with Leo Rhodes.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening, Charles Heels, Mary Heels. I got that a little bit backwards because I've been a little bit scrambled today. However, I am really delighted to talk to you, and you're all looking well.
Just put your name into the record.
I am Veronica Bernier. I'm a PSU graduate from 2005 in public health and community health education. And part of what I did when I did my internship was watch homeless numbers. I'm considered an expert witness on homelessness. Currently, I don't have a home. It seems ironic, but that can happen to you. You're just a paycheck away from being homeless. But my background is I was a nurse for 30 years, and then I became unemployed. I did a geographic, went up to Seattle, and became another type of classified aide. I worked in the school districts. I went to Sacramento. I worked in the school districts also. But what I wanted to tell you about this particular issue is that I found in my studies over 10 years, Jonathan Kozol wrote a book called Songs from the Alley and Rachel and Her Children. Songs from the Alley is about a single homeless woman back east, and Rachel and Her Children is about a single woman with three children and her struggles in trying to find housing in Michigan area. Good books. I wanted to say something very specific. When laws are introduced, and also ordinances and bills and bonds and eminent domains for a certain amount of land use problems come up, we have a process to go through, and it's a governmental process. And it has to do with the Department of Interior and Land, and we all know that. And that particular process works very well when it's applied. At this time, I understand the R2D2 place. I've seen it. I've seen the tents. I don't recommend it for co-ed housing. I don't think that co-ed housing works for homeless. I will tell you from the get-go that women and men have different issues. However, a place where it did work, we all know that. Amanda's smiling, of course. Well, it ought to be apparent. In San Diego, Father Joe at St. Vincent's put up a multi-center that works. It was 9 stories. It worked well for the homeless. It was a homeless multi-center with all the services that you could want or need. Barbering, free lunches, transportation, I think it's 18th or 16th in the terminal, C Street or something like that. And all of the people there got jobs with United Handicapable Workers as telemarketers. Now, you think this is funny, but one of the people back there did mention telemarketing as a viable employer for homeless. The steps to success is to get a job, get clothing, and get out there and lobby for yourself. Multi-centers work for homeless. It marshals their energies. They keep the women separate from the men. However, if they're a married couple, Father Joe said, if they're married in good faith, I'll let them sleep together. But if they're not married, I'm just making a joke. But anyway, you understand how it goes. It can get kind of dicey.
Wrap up.
But I generally support the issue, but I find that the impact on the neighborhood might be negative, and I do worry about the businesses in the area. People are conservative in the Pearl District. I used to, as a Red Cross worker, I was there counting people, and whenever something happens, they kind of react as a mass. There's a lot of people that speak another language there. They speak different, they speak Chechen, they speak Russian, many, many Bulgarian, Latvian, Estonian, French and German, Spanish. So it's a different cosmopolitan mix, and to throw homeless into an area like that and expect them to mix well, it's a challenge. So I would have to say I would have a question mark about it, and perhaps a better site might be sought. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Chris H., and I am here to represent Right to Dream 2. I am currently in the process of becoming a member. First off, I'd like to share a small part in how they've helped me personally. I hear a lot of arguments and teeth gnashing, but nobody's really talked about how it could be helpful. I myself suffer from PTSD and anxiety problems. Before coming to Right to Dream 2, I had issues dealing with being in crowds and dealing with people in general due to PTSD and the anxiety. Since I've come to be at Right to Dream 2 and being able to work and socialize with a diverse population of people, I've found many, many different ways of coping with the PTSD attacks and the anxiety attacks. I've also learned to regain a lot of patience. I also believe that Right to Dream 2 can be a useful resource for the Pearl District. With that, I would like to ask a question, you know, to the members of the Pearl District that are being represented here. If the mayor and the commissioners are willing to give us a chance, why isn't the Pearl District? For starters, the constant security checks that we have of our perimeters can assure extra eyes to keep a lookout for suspicious behavior. We as a community have a strict no drug, alcohol, or weapons policy, which is strictly enforced by the members and volunteers there. In doing so, I believe that we can help minimize the use and exchange of various drugs, weapons, and alcohol in the vicinity of the area that we are in. With rest area volunteers constantly working to keep the vicinity and the area that we use as our rest area, we work to keep it clean and trash-free. We can also help improve the area in that regard. And other than that, I'd like to thank you for your time and allowing me to speak.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. Good evening.
Ibrahim Mubarak, chairman, co-founder of Right to Dream 2, Right to Survive in Dinkney Village. I heard a lot here, and I had something I want to say, but what keeps coming up in my mind is the word unless. People spoke on their fears, people spoke on their concerns, people spoke on their ignorance, and people spoke on what they know. And unless we come together and talk and reason with one another, it's going to be that way. Fears, ignorance, what's true and what's not true. We don't have to rub elbows. Everybody know that Right to Survive is a successful end time, in the meantime, solution to getting people off the streets. We know that. But what's not known is those people that's getting successful, what they went through, how they became homeless, and how they became successful, they are humans. And the people in the Pearl District are weighing monetary over humanity, because they always speaking about we gonna bring their property value down. And maybe that's good. Then there'd be more affordable housing. However, we're not there to bring property value down. We're there to get people from sleeping on your sidewalks. We dare to stop people from sleeping in the doorways. We dare to stop the drug dealings. We dare to stop the drug users by our presence. And that happens everywhere we go and everywhere we will go. Ask the Old Town Chinatown Neighborhood Association. Ask the Chinese restaurants and the businesses that's involved around Right to Dream 2. Ask Bill Russell of Union Gospel Mission on how he wants us to stay there. However, I thank you, Commissioner Amanda Fritz and Charlie Hales, Steve Novak, and Dan Salzman for giving us this opportunity to rise to occasion again where we can help the houseless people to become productive. People need to stop looking at the houseless people as a negative thing. Right now, the government is closed, and you hear on the news that people are trying to figure out how they're going to pay their rent or they're going to be in the street. They're afraid of that. So we here to pick them up. We here to do things as an organization, not as a houseless, as an organization that help houseless people reorganize themselves, look into their soul, look into status, and say, I can do this. It's given the proper resources and the right amount of guidance and reference. And we build in community, and that's why Right to Dream 2 is so successful. So if people are afraid of us, they're afraid of their own fears, not us. Thank you.
I'd just like to say thank you for letting me speak here, and I applaud and I encourage the mayor and the city commissioners.
And just give us your name.
Oh, Leo Rhodes, I'm sorry. Leo Rhodes, I'm nervous.
It's okay, Leo, thank you.
I'm Leo Rhodes, and I am formerly homeless. I did stay at Right to Dream 2 for a little bit, too, just prior to getting into housing. So, I would like to applaud and encourage the mayor and the city commissioners to let Right to Dream 2 to stay in the Pearl District. I'd want to read a poem that I wrote when I was homeless. And it was after speaking to a lot of decision makers, the neighborhoods, anybody that would listen to me. And this is what I kind of wanted to say back to them. It's called Being Human with a Question Mark. I am the voice you never hear. If I spoke, would you listen? I am the ugly duckling, visible in your pretty little world. I am the criminal when I sleep. I am the nuisance, trying to keep dry out of the rain. I am the homeless person, looking for dignity in a safe, secure place. Now that is what happens every night, and there's a lot more that happens to homeless people every night. Right to Dream 2, I believe, has the first two sentences that is come on out. I am the voice you never hear. If I spoke, would you listen? I believe you guys have listened because you are working right now with the Right to Dream 2 and trying to get them a place to go, which I applaud, and that's great. We should be working together. There's also the thing that I was talked about earlier, the us and them. And I believe that this council can stop this us and them by working with Right to Dream 2. And also this Right to Dream 2 is the homeless community, which is very rare that this I've seen in my advocacy of the homeless people coming on up and speaking with the decision makers. So the 10-year plan to end homelessness, you know, it's in our ninth year, and it's doing some great. Some parts of it is great, but still, we still need to keep up on that. And we don't have enough affordable housing for everybody. Right to Dream 2, I believe, is helping these individuals that don't have that. It's like a stepping stone to come on up. I also just like to say that, please, just stop the cycle of the them and us and show the leadership with working with Right to Dream 2. And give them the right to dream in the Pearl. And then also I'd like to close with, let's not reinvent the wheel, which was sent earlier about all these commissions or whatever, getting together. That's already happening with the 10-year plan. If these individuals want to help, they should go to the 10-year plan and help that on out. But working with Right to Dream 2 is what we should be looking to. A lot of people said that they didn't believe that when they bought housing or when they went to the Pearl, that the homeless people would be there. You know, times have changed, you know, and we do have to help these individuals, these human beings out there. Don't put laws up. Don't have the police come after them. Give them someplace safe and secure. If you are going to put those laws and police on them, at least give them a chance to have someplace stable so that they can get themselves on out of homelessness. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Next is Michelle Rentelman, Roy Natowitz and Beth Natowitz, William Barnes, just come on up if I call your name, Rich Baranano, I believe is the last name, Barry Sutton, Angela Hammett.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You get to be first. Just give us your name and then proceed.
My name is Michelle Rintelman. Thank you for allowing this forum today to bring the community together to discuss the issue. I've lived in Portland for quite a while now, about 13 years, and I have my master's in public health from Portland State. I'm a doula, providing birth support and advocacy for pregnant women and families, and I work for social justice here and wherever there is injustice. And about 2 years ago, shortly after, right about the time that Right to Dream 2 opened, I lost my housing, and I did end up staying at Right to Dream 2 for a short while, and got housing and a job while I was there. So I'm very grateful for the time and for the opportunity. And having that short time there and having kept in touch with the community, I've been able to see personally the level of commitment people have there to safety and to helping people that need help. They are very consistent. Meetings are inclusive. They meet every week. There is, like you've heard, 24-hour security. Everyone is required to be involved in protecting the site and each other and the area around. Frequently, when I go by to visit, people are cleaning up around, walking around the block, cleaning up plants, community activities. So it's a very lively place. And I have also had the opportunity to see tourists and people visiting Portland stop by, learn a little bit more about the issues, get a chance to tour and talk with people that are living at Right to Dream 2. And also I've seen concerned people in the Portland area come to provide food and talk and also just get an insight into what people are experiencing. So I guess I would advocate for Right to Dream 2 and the site, or the rest area, the methodology that they have, and I'm just grateful for this opportunity that everyone was able to come and maybe find out a little bit more behind the scenes what it could look like in their neighborhood, and I'm grateful that people are opening up to be more compassionate to people who are in need. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Rich Baranzano. I'd first like to say very quickly that your interpretation of land use is troubling, as it probably will be to the state. Considering that 51.8% of land in the state is either owned by the BLM, federal government, or the state. I don't know what the figures are for county and cities, but I'm not sure. So that's very troubling. I don't know how tempted Oregon would be if they were to maybe take on a nuclear dump site, call it a public service, and if they get $2 billion a year, maybe that would tempt them. I think that, you know, when you start doing that, it's kind of unravels the fabric of what the state's known for all over the country. That's very troubling. As far as a neighborhood, alcohol-free zones was a big concern, and the local produce store on 9th and Everett was very stringently reviewed. And what you're doing here, because what I understand, what I got out of this evening's testimony is the camp itself is seems to be very well managed. It's the people who won't be allowed in the camp who will feel attracted to the camp. I'm sure you thought of this. I'm sure you looked that the, you know that the 5.5 acres of park within three blocks or less are going to attract people like a sponge. The sidewalks, everything is going to turn that area into an alcohol impact zone. I believe that a friend of mine brought this up to me. I'm just repeating what he was thinking. That liquor store, which is a half block away, is something you don't have in the an old town. And that's the most successful, I believe, the busiest liquor store in the state. You're asking for a lot of trouble. It's going to happen. I believe if you intend to make a resolution, you also need to make as part of that resolution that if you turn the area into an alcohol impact zone as a result of your action, you should also agree to resign. If that happens as a result of your actions, you should agree to resign. It's pretty simple. The picture's right there. The parks are there. They're a sponge. It's going to happen. And what's really a travesty here is you are very well aware how many children are moved into that area. You know there's two grade schools with very close to that 3.5 acre Fields Park. Kids pick stuff off the sidewalks. They're going to get hepatitis. It's going to be a lot. I mean, if this doesn't happen, that would be wonderful. But this is just something I want to bring to your attention.
All right, thank you.
Welcome.
You're next.
Yes,
folks,
Mayor Hales,
folks,
thank
please.
You.
Hang on.
Yeah,
please.
Thank you for having me here, sir. You might have cut me ahead of a lot of other people. I appreciate it. I have a lot to do. Hello, sir. I hope you're a little bit better off now, sir. I think you weren't there last night at the film, and Commissioner Fish isn't here. I'm sorry. What has impressed me is an area that where I travel a lot is going up 12th Avenue. I'm sure a lot of you have been up there. And there's a huge field in back of Washington, the old Washington High School, and the building is sold to someone to make a condominium, but there are sometimes a couple of the people around the neighborhood running their dogs in this field that's about 3 blocks long, huge, immense. And I was just thinking about the first Dignity Village, well, the first camp here in Portland, cat a corner to St. Patrick's Church, and I'd come there in the on Saturday night, and I'd always pick up around the people. There are about 55 people in this little tiny space, and everything worked out just great, except the Department of Transportation wanted to move their roadblocks, hoses, rakes, and all their tools in to that area, and they said, you got to get out, and so we have the Dignity Village out by the airport. And that worked out fine. Okay, well, this, too, could work out very well. The only problem I would see, a big problem, is with the police, but the police could create a section of their department because the police are here to, well, technically keep the peace. Yeah, they're supposed to. But the police could create a department to help people live together in this camp, and there could be a lot of things going on that would help a lot, that people would live together. Now, that's good. That would be fine. Take all the people off the streets, and then the what is it? Something you two camp? Or I forgot. What is it?
Right to Dream 2.
Yeah, Right to Dream 2 camp. That could go there or just stay where it is. But this would be enough for everybody. And other people in the east could see this, like around Detroit and those other areas. They'd have a lot of room and a lot of homeless, and they could start their own camps too. And this would actually bring our entire society together again. So
thank you.
I leave that thought with you. And Commissioner Fritz, if you would please consider this. It's not impossible. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Okay, you're next.
Hi, my name's Angela Hammett, and I never dreamed in my entire life that I would be homeless. When I did become homeless, I knew I could count on my city to help, especially Portland. You have so many wonderful programs out there. Only what happened was I fell through the cracks. I fell through the cracks because I don't have an addiction. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug abuser. I'm not being abused by my husband. I'm not fresh out of prison. And I'm not a veteran of the United States of America. Right to Dream 2 is somewhere where the people that fall through the cracks can go and they can be safe and they don't have to sleep in a doorway and they don't have to be kicked awake by the police and or angry citizens on the street that are mad because there are homeless people sleeping on their sidewalks. It's not the solution. I understand that. But until there is a solution, please let us have somewhere to go.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, next, please.
Next, the first name is D-I-H, I believe. The last name is Weed. Mark Kramer. Michael David Crawford. Judith Scott. Either Lanny or Danny Provo. Six. Kirsten Everett. Jordan Benning. Timothy Welp. Lamson, Marco, maybe Lamson, Jonathan Cobb, Julie McMurcurdy, Mike Withy, Diane Riley.
Okay, let's take these three and then we'll call some more. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Oops, my name is Dickweed. It is my street name. I am very proud of it. Mostly because I get to come to events like this, and they have to tell me, "Oh, Dickweed." Yeah, it's funny. You know, I've been watching all these proceedings, and I've been listening to everybody, and I am really disturbed by some of the language that's being used. I particularly loved being associated with toxic waste. That's a new one. I was told, I was asked, if I cannot come up here and say things like bigot point out the NIMBY or all that kind of stuff. And I don't really want to focus too much on that. But the truth of the matter is that I work with a group of people that do amazing work every day. And we don't ask anything from anybody except for the freedom to continue to do that work. And that's the thing that really drew me as a person to this organization and is why I continue to work there. We are completely devoted to what we do. And that's an amazing experience. It's very few people who go about their lives with any kind of devotion. And I am blessed to be with a group of people who believe that advocacy is a human right, that we all deserve to have a voice. That we all deserve to know our rights and to expect others to appreciate and accept us as humans, as equals. There's a lot of inequity in our class system, but there is some equality in the laws that govern us. I am a human being, and I deserve to be able to sleep. I don't deserve to have rich white people tell me where to sleep. So I think that is the part of the argument where I'm lost, you know. The Pearl District says that we are going to drop their values on their homes and property. And I'm going to tell you this. It's actually your hatred that drops values. There's a point. When you get behind an organization and are positive, and then teach others who come into your community that this is a positive thing, your values and home don't go down. They go, oh, well, there's a homeless camp. And you go, no, that's not a homeless camp. It's a rest area, and they're doing great work for people, and we're all supportive of them. Well, guess what? Then your value doesn't go down in your house. If you hate, then your property value goes down. And that's called justice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please.
Good evening. My name is Michael David Crawford, C-R-A-W-F-O-R-D. Call me Mike. Thanks for permitting me to speak. Let's say